Well, it's been another day of milder conditions across New South Wales and Victoria, but dangerous bushfire weather is anticipated on Friday. So damage assessments are being carried out in the interim, with authorities confirming more than 1,500 homes are destroyed across New South Wales this bushfire season, with a further 200 so far confirmed lost in Victoria. More than 50 homes have been destroyed on South Australia's Kangaroo Island in fires there that killed two people. Well, in eastern Victoria, the fires have now burnt through 1.2 million hectares of land. Much of that terrain is extremely difficult to work in. As it stands, some communities are still cut off by land, others still have very limited access. And with another tough period of fire conditions looming, as we've mentioned, on Friday and on Saturday, efforts are underway there to shore up defences. David Sparks is in Bairnsdale in East Gippsland for us. Victoria's Premier Daniel Andrews was there earlier today too. David, what's the latest with the fires there?
Well, Linda, these fires in East Gippsland and northeast Victoria have been held up by light drizzle yesterday and cooler temperatures, but not by much because it's so dry here. And that's illustrated somewhat by the fact that we were just told a little while ago there are now only 14 fires burning. That's well down from more than 40 last week, which sounds like a big improvement, but in fact it's not, because the reason the number of fires burning is so much fewer is because many of them have joined together. So very serious conditions here still. Andrew Crisp told us a little while ago that hundreds and hundreds of kilometres of fire front are still burning. There have been a couple of hundred more people evacuated from, or will be this afternoon, from Mallacoota, which is good news. But apart from evacuations, the authorities are really focusing on delivering support to small communities who are doing it tough. And the other huge area of effort right now is preparing for the next round of really high fire danger on Friday and Saturday, when temperatures are going to get well into the 30s. I spoke with CFA Chief Fire Officer Steve Warrington a short time ago, and he told me that crews are working really hard right now to build defences ahead of those conditions on Friday.
So at the moment there's a bit of respite. So for us it's about making the barrier between the unburnt area and the burnt area as wide as possible in a real physical sense. So some of that is grading, some of that is burning where we can to burn out, to get that gap between the actual unburnt area and the area burnt. So there's a lot happening in that space. But where we get an opportunity to do some burning, we are doing some burning as well. Don't underestimate the work that's being done also ahead of it with our communities as well, to make sure that communities are prepared. So we've got a bit of a strategy. If the fire goes where we think it could go, then we're in those communities right now saying, hey, you could expect potentially you need to be prepared for fire. We'll put strike teams, physical, pre-deployed strike teams into those communities.
Gosh, it's endless, isn't it? One of the big issues has been that lack of access, David, some really inhospitable terrain. We know some communities are still cut off. So what's the latest on efforts to get those roads opened?
Yeah, it's incredible to think that communities are still blocked off after more than a week, which is when the first round of really bad fires came through. Right now, there are now only three towns which are completely cut off by road. Authorities have not been able to get in there at all by road. But there are still many other communities that only have very limited access over land. For some of those, for example, vehicles can only get in and out in guided convoys because the roads are still so dangerous. There's trees down all over the place. And you might think, well, why can't they just clear it quickly? But one road I went down yesterday, I was amazed how many trees there were that had clearly been freshly cut down by the authorities that day. To clear the road or clear it of dangerous trees alongside the road, it really illustrated just what a huge task this is. Even the Princes Highway is still cut off, so still a lot of work to be done on that, and no clear answers as to when those roads will open up.
And what about morale in East Gippsland?
Look, I have to say I've been really impressed by everybody's efforts to keep morales up. Charities and volunteers have stepped up with a level of coordination and self-organisation almost that has to be seen to be believed. People are saddened, but most I've spoken to can't really bear the thought of sitting around and doing nothing, so they get up and do something, be it volunteering or whatnot, and that seems to keep spirits up. There are lots of people working to keep morale up, Linda, and on a much lighter note, I met one of those just a few moments ago. Her name's Lexi. She has four legs. She works for Ambulance Victoria, and her only job is to lift people's spirits. While Lexi was being swamped by fans here at the Incident Control Centre, I spoke with her handler, Joe Algie, from the ambulance service.
This is 5-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog Lexi. She's a peer support dog with Ambulance Victoria. She's been doing it for nearly 12 months. And we just go out and visit primarily paramedics.
Now, for those who don't know, a Bernese
mountain dog
is a big, big dog. I mean, what does Lexi weigh?
She's 48 kilos.
Right. And she's got that much hair again. She's beautiful. Big black, for those who don't know, big black hairy dog with nice sort of tanned features on the paws and on the snout. But she plays a very important role, doesn't she, Lexi? What does she do?
She does. So we go out to primarily paramedics. It's a mixture of proactive and reactive. So we'll go to ambos that have had bad jobs or just not coping very well, or up to scenes like this.
What have you been doing here?
So we came in here this morning into the ICC just to say hi, and the response was amazing. We saw so many people through all different organisations, and they just all had a big cuddle and a cry.
Some people from in professions you might associate with toughness rather than softness?
Yes, there was big army burly blokes in there, and they just bawled their eyes out.
Does Lexi, who's doing a lap around me with the lead now, does Lexi also see like victims or people non-professionals?
Normally no, but today we've been up to Lucknow to the hall, and we've seen a couple of people and met some people that have lost their houses, lost everything, and they gave just as big a cuddle as anyone else.
They met Lexi. They got Lexied and it worked.
It worked well. They had a cry too, and I don't know why she makes people cry, but she's a dog. They just love it.
Jo Algy there from the ambulance service, handler of Lexi. Better bring Lexi back to us, David, I think. Authorities are warning against unsolicited donations now. So much good going on.
Yes.
But how much of a problem is that on the ground where you've visited?
Well, look, it's a big enough problem that the Minister, Lisa Neville, just mentioned it here, and it's really happening. I'm not sure if it's a problem here on the ground, but apparently, and this is coming about, I believe, from the police, there are people making phone calls claiming to be victims or claiming to be charities trying to get money. And the message from the authorities, including the Minister, Lisa Neville, is if you're going to donate to the main East Gippsland Fire Relief Charity donation scheme that's in place right now. Don't muck around trying to find some other way of donating.
Okay, good on you. Thanks very much, David. David Sparks in Bairnsdale in East Gippsland.